Beth, and this is Discord, and we are the co-hosts of the That Scorpio podcast. We, because we're great podcasters, recorded about 5 hours worth of content, which for one episode for you sounds horrible and exhausting.
For our first episode, welcome to the Titanic. Pop in VHS disc two.
So that's what you're in for.
And that's a VHS disc.
Oh my God.
I know things.
You're just wanting to combine the two mediums together. Mm-hmm. You're like, guys, what if we did VHSs?
On a disc. Wouldn't that be crazy?
And someone's like, you know what? That's nuts, but I think that just might work. Here's how I want you to give me your introduction.
Okay.
And we'll just say that the episode's starting now. Give me three movies that I would use to summon you.
To summon me?
Yeah.
Mother.
Oh my God.
Would absolutely be on that list. Because if anybody says the name Mother, then like, I'm running around the corner. And like, also, tell me what you thought about that.
Are you gonna talk about
actually,
it?
Actually,
like, I can't think Brian watched that. We only got halfway through it, so Kristen Wiig hasn't even shown up when he's watched.
Oh yeah, you haven't finished it yet. Oh,
he hasn't finished it yet.
Yeah, that movie, Moulin Rouge.
That's a great surprise. What I did not expect.
I think that it's one of the top most beautiful films that has ever been made
it's
on the face
so
of the planet.
Good. Baz Luhrmann has never made a better movie.
I don't like cry in mm-hmm. general, but goddamn, every time I watch that movie, I'm like, Travis, that was the most beautiful movie I've ever seen. It's like, he's like, I know, we've watched it a million times and you say that every time.
My best friend watched that movie in high school and I had never seen it. And I had gotten to the part where the hills are alive and the sound of music. I got to that part.
Mm.
So I hadn't seen the part where he's like, the love of my life is dead. So I did not know that she was going to die. So she dies at the end. I'm like, Cameron, what the fuck
happened?
She's like, you missed the first 5 minutes where he said she's going to die.
And, like, the first time I saw that movie was, like, right when it came out. And so I was probably, like, 11 or 12. I don't remember what year that came out. But I was definitely, like, young.
Yeah.
And, like, I knew that it said she was gonna die. But let me tell you, it's even knowing, it doesn't prepare you for her dying.
And you
still think something's
like,
gonna happen. Like,
yeah.
She's not dying.
Yeah. No, there's no way. And what's your third movie?
Catching Fire.
The song that Lorde did, Yellow Flicker Beat,
oh,
for that
so
song,
good.
She did that, and then she did a cover of Everybody Wants to Rule the World
mm-hmm.
for, I think, it was Mockingjay Part 1.
Oh, wait, two of those movies are Jennifer Lawrence movies.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're The Hunger Games.
No, like, Mother and Catching, like, I didn't,
oh,
in my top
yeah.
three, I didn't realize that.
That's a good
that
makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those would definitely be the three. Well, what are your three movies?
Oh, man, this is really hard. My three movies are the Jordan Peele movie Nope, Breaking Dawn Part 1, which is the fourth Twilight movie. I really want to say New Moon, though. I might change that. Let's say it's New Moon for now. That might be, it's because it's fall. Don't worry about why that's important.
I mean, I have seen that one.
That one's good. That
That's
one
the last one I saw.
That one has the best soundtrack.
Mm.
Like, yeah, I'd say so. But the third one has Jack White on the soundtrack. Because that one has
because of Dead Weather.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Rolling in a Burning Tire.
I can't believe he signed off on that.
He sure did. He sure did. Which means, no, like, Jack White doesn't like horrible things. And Jack White doesn't contribute his art to horrible things. He's making sure Donald Trump doesn't use his music. But he said, I will make a song. For the Twilight movie. That's not a problem
that's
for
a problem.
Me.
That's...
That should tell you right there that that's good cinema. And what's number three? Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
That's such a good choice.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't come here to fuck around.
Like, I would put those in, like, if you had to, like, put a CD circle for
yeah.
somebody,
oh,
it would
yeah.
be the Charlie's Angels soundtrack would hold two of those spaces.
I do.
Do you ever, like, think it's funny when, like, somebody says something that, like, that explains to you how they perceive you, and then it's just so interesting to, like, realize how other people perceive you, because you don't get that interest, like, that off that feedback very often?
Can I tell you, one of the ways that I got that in a really incredible way was my girlfriend at the time threw me a surprise birthday party. It was my 21st birthday, and she had everyone write down quotes that I had said to them on their cups. And it was some of the most insulting, vile shit. Like, someone was like, yeah, Beth, you told me to jump off of a bridge and die once because you didn't like the way that I parted my hair. And I'm like, And like, it was so funny. I'm like, it was? And someone's like, yeah, this is a time where you said such and such and such. And you said, oh, but it's fine for me because my dad is dead. And I was like...
I do keep a whole note section in my phone of like things people say that are funny.
That's intimidating.
Well, I always let it know. I always go, that's going in the notes. Like, it's not, oh, okay. I'm not like secretly like doing it.
Oh my God.
So I have to look back and like have those memories.
Yeah, no, that is nice.
And before I was doing it where I wouldn't write down the context or who said it because I wanted to like look back and guess. And that went horribly wrong. Like, suddenly, like, I have dementia, and I have no idea what people said at all. So I was like, no, we need to put... Or, like, sometimes we're drunk. So it's like, I had to start putting, like, parentheses said about this by this person.
I don't do that yet. Mm. So a lot of my notes app is, like... I tracked down one that it was. And so I'm going to tell you the people that were in it. It was Fergie, Coldplay... but all acoustic. It's like, oh, Pitbull, just like horrible artists. And the lineup was like, the thing that I figured out it was the world's worst Coachella lineup. And so I did like, I had like Fergie specifically doing the national anthem, Pitbull, but he only sings one song but never remixes it. And I was just making a nightmare scenario of a Coachella lineup. And it was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to figure out through these random people on my notes app what it was.
Like, what was this? Yeah, putting the context changes everything.
Yeah, so I need to organize mine and be more, like, I can't believe I'm looking to you for organization advice.
That's
after
funny.
That monstrosity of a drawer earlier.
Well, one of my really, really awful personality traits is, especially, specifically at work, in fact, is, like, when, if there's more than one coworker speaking at a time, like, it's not one-on-one, and if I'm... become disinterested in this conversation, I just walk away. Like, I'm just this time's up. Like,
that's time's up. That's so crazy.
Like, I just walk away.
That's like a power move too. Like, that's like a Miranda from Devil Wears Prada sort of.
It's like, I just don't think so. It's, of course, in my opinion, I'm like, well, maybe she's talking to this coworker. You know, I haven't contributed to this conversation.
So maybe I'm out of this conversation.
So like, maybe it's not
naturally.
For me. So like, if I just leave, then it is for her.
And hey, I'm sure someone will call you back.
Oh, I didn't realize it was rude until again, like I was like on Instagram. They're like, signs that you might have autism. And it's like, walking away from conversations you don't want to have. I'm like, oh.
You're like, what?
I thought that was normal.
It's not because then you have to look back and you're like, when has someone done that to me? Probably not often.
Okay, but like if we were in my house, like I'd be like, I'd maybe get that. But like at work, maybe I saw a customer.
True.
Maybe she needs help. That's, oh, sister needs a color match.
That's a good excuse.
Gotta go.
Discord, what pissed you off today? We can only pick one thing.
I can only pick one thing. Well, this has been an ongoing thing that's been pissing me off, but I haven't had the opportunity to speak on it.
Thank God you have a podcast.
Thank God. The people want this.
They do. They've asked.
I would like to know how many people have threads and if it pisses them off as much as it pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a threads? Have you looked at threads?
Mm-mm. Because I know it for being like price mongering and being it like being overpriced.
It's cost money?
Are we thinking about the same thing?
I don't
think
so.
Explain to me what Threads is.
Wait, do you think Threads is something where you, like, buy vintage clothes?
I do.
That makes sense.
Okay. What is it actually?
It's Instagram's version of Twitter.
Oh! Duh! Okay, duh.
But what you're thinking, I'd be like, yeah, no. I got to talk
it
on Threads.
Because I'm thinking, like, ThreadUp. That's a website where it's the same exact.
No,
same
this is Insta
duh.
Twitter.
I'm still not on that yet.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
I only have it because it, like, said... if you click this button, you'll have it.
Right.
So
and I was like,
I
oh, that's
it.
So easy.
Mm-hmm. So every time I log on, I don't log on to it to like post on it or anything, mm-hmm. but like Instagram will always be like, oh, if you want to read the rest of this,
yes!
click this. So then I go and then I see, and I don't follow anyone on Threads, so it just shows me the happenings.
Yeah.
I'm very convinced that Threads is it's 99% bots. Like because the way that people type and the things that people are saying, if A, very inflammatory, like Twitter is. So, like, I feel like Twitter is the home of alt-right, like, Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Threads is, like, the home of, like, extremist left bots. Or, like, maybe even, like, Russian bots who, like, pretend to be, like, hyper-woke to, like, cause problems within the left because we all like to argue with each other.
That's a valid assumption.
Because none of it reads with, like, humanity. Like, when you're reading, it's like, there's no soul to this. Like, when I'm reading, like, the nasty things that pop up on Twitter, I'm like, well, yeah, some dumb redneck and, like, fucking
It makes sense for Twitter.
Yeah, I'm like, that, you wrote that because you're uneducated and stupid.
But with Threads being as new as it is, it's crazy that, like, that an environment like that has been...
Like, yeah, and it feels very algorithmic. Like, if, say, Chapel Roan is, like, in the lexicon of the news cycle right now, it'll be, like, something about Chapel Roan, something inflammatory about Chapel Roan. It's, like, all a bunch of, like, buzzwords that have happened that week to get likes.
Yeah.
And then I also see a bunch of the same people tweeting, like, the same thing. Like, what are your top five favorite movies? And it's, like, every account's posting that. That's really weird. Yeah. But it's been pissing me off because all I see on it is just, like, hyper, like, extremist, like... extreme left stuff again that specifically comes either, and if it's not bots then it's just white people, or it's white people bots, because it's like I feel like people who are hyper left and hyper white have the most opinions
did on... you mean to say hyper white?
Yeah,
okay,
I sure did.
Awesome. I just wanted to make
they have the most opinions about the things that they are not.
Yeah.
They have so many opinions on what is racist, on what is transphobic. Yeah. And it's like, you are literally, like, Rebecca at Starbucks with, like, a very, very short bang and blue hair.
Yeah.
And you are just trying to give yourself points on, hey, if I say this is bad, then that means I am good.
Yeah.
And if there's nothing further more to it. And it drives me crazy.
People of color have been telling white people forever, we need you guys to stand with us and help us because our voices alone tend to not reach the people that we need to reach. And some people took that in a direction of being like an online vigilante.
Yeah.
And that's not what we're talking about. And it's just, it's weird the way that people are like, I'm helping.
Yeah. And it's like, they're making up their own rules on what is racist on your behalf.
Yeah. I was like, we didn't say that.
It's like, that's nuts. So like I just saw one the other day that I sent you on your phone that just really sent me. It says, sure, Chapel has drag aesthetic. Sure. Call her a drag queen even. She isn't going to get arrested for it though. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of that?
Yeah.
Why did you say that?
Yeah.
Like, why are you attacking this woman? Like, why is she, like, she's on our side.
Chapel Roan is, like, everything that people have been asking for in artists.
Yeah.
And now that she's here, people are so upset, and I don't understand it.
And then there's so much even more layers to this, too, I feel, because it's like, okay, yeah, so Trump is in office now. And we're worried about, like, trans people and gay people and drag queens. But we're also worried about women.
Yeah.
And Chapel Roan is a woman.
Yeah.
So, like, you're acting like she's just because she identifies as a drag queen, she's not going to get attacked as a drag queen. Well, great. She's going to get attacked as a person who is queer and has a uterus.
Exactly.
So she's in just as much danger, girl. Yeah, so, like...
You're pointing the fingers at the
wrong people. Why are you not yelling at literally anybody else? Right. You're not mad at Kid Rock? But we're mad at Chapel Roan because she puts on too much makeup and, like, the cost. Shut the fuck up.
It's exhausting for, like, someone to, like, put their energy into really, like, hating the wrong person.
Yeah.
And being upset at the wrong person. Like, Chapel Roan's not doing anything for literally taking people's rights away.
Nope. She's, in fact, trying to help you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Actively.
And then the one other thread that really pissed me off is I just see a lot of people now on the left because, like... If we could just get the left to unify, things would be much different, but, like, the whole divide and conquer thing works specifically for us and not for the right, because all you have to do is say hateful things, and they're like, yeah, absolutely. But, like, here we have to pick apart every minute thing. So now I was like, if you're a part of the 4B movement, like, fuck you, like, you shouldn't be doing that. It's obviously anti-trans and anti... And it's like, let's just calm down. We're just trying to tell women to stop fucking men right now.
Yeah.
Like really, it's like, if you ask the average person... who's talking about the 4B movement, they'd be like, oh, I just think I should probably stop having sex with men for the time being. Not, well, you know, I think these trans people are this, and I'm a TERF. It's like, that's not what this is about.
No.
And if you would just allow people to gather in it for what it is currently, instead of attacking. So that every time somebody is trying to be an ally or do something good, you have these hyper, like, woke people trying to be like, you're actually doing it wrong. And, yeah. and then that person is more likely to go to the right because they're like, oh shit, maybe the right has some points. Mm-hmm. These people are intolerable and they are mean and they are going to attack me when I was just trying to help. And so it makes me mad. And I think Threads is that in a nutshell.
I love how that came full circle. I've forgotten about Threads up until that. I agree with everything that you said. There's so many wrong things you can do in the act of protest, and protesting is not one of them. And it really is crazy, people feeling that they have any right to decide what's right and wrong with expressing their anger and mm-hmm. protesting and
It's like, if you start noticing the TERF-like behavior, call it out then. But in the meantime, what I read about the 4B movement is just about not having sex with men, not letting them get you pregnant if you're not married to them, like, not getting married to them. Like, it's just, like, it seemed like very core principles. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, like any group, bad people are going to infiltrate that. But that is to be said about literally every single thing on the planet.
Yeah.
And so if you have the right...
people more than five.
Yeah.
Probably gonna have someone who's going to want to take it down somehow.
So it's like, when are we going to realize all the right has to say is, I hate immigrants and I hate gay people. And they're going to unite tens of thousands of people on those two sentiments alone.
Yeah.
But like, we can't do that on our side to save our lives.
Yeah. There's unfortunately a lot of selfishness in it.
Mm-hmm.
When it's the time where you should be the most selfless.
Yeah. Well, what pissed you off today?
Oh. The Beatles' AI-assisted track, Now and Then, is nominated for 2 Grammy Awards. You could not... There's... there's nothing that you could have said other than that to make me more pissed at reading a title of an article. And nothing makes me want to not keep reading. I saw that and I just went, okay.
I have to tell you, the article title pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read, and then all the implications that I put on that title pissed mm-hmm. me off. And then I read about what that actually meant.
Mm-hmm.
And I became significantly less pissed off.
From what I know, it's restoring the Beatles' vocals with AI, correct?
It is taking a demo that already existed,
mm-hmm.
like the whole music, the words, everything in it existed, and it's just, because it was on such a very shitty, shitty old recording and you could barely hear it, it mm-hmm. just took what was already there and cleaned it up to make it able to be listened to today. So when I read the title, I thought it meant they were like AI making like...
Oh, like fresh vocals.
Fresh vocals. Like, I thought it was like the equivalent of taking Tupac's voice and creating a brand new Tupac song and saying that this is a Tupac song. Let's give him
you mean what Drake did.
Yeah. So that's what I thought was going on.
Drake,
but you're
I'll
just...
never let you forget about that. Above all else, I want to make sure everyone knows that he's... Tupac's AI generated vocals and Tupac's estate had to give you a cease and desist to take it down. I'm sorry.
Can we hope that the what's that thing called where there's a concert in the middle of a football
game? Super Bowl halftime show?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is.
I knew where you were going with that. Can we hope that what?
That's the end of Drake.
Okay. I mean, I thought that him doing Not Like Us 5 times at that concert was going to be it. That seemed like a New Orleans-style funeral to me. And now
then
we're going to
have... Video.
Huh?
And then the music video.
And then the music video. And now he's going to be in New Orleans. I don't know if anyone knew this. A lot of Black people live in New Orleans. And a whole bunch of people with so much rhythm singing Not Like Us, calling Drake a pedophile... It's going to make my skin clearer than it already is.
I would never leave my house again if I was Drake.
No!
The only one singular way that this could be even worse for Drake, and I just want this to happen, is let's involve 50 Cent.
He's making a documentary.
Oh, I can't wait.
He said he has been collecting data.
For 10 years.
And for 10 years. He's so on the case. Like, I hope that he has a hat that he puts on when he does his investigative work.
I am petty, but I aspire to be 50 Cent petty.
50 Cent and Kendrick petty is... Oh my god, can you imagine if... Oh my god. I just realized. I completely forgot that Drake performed with, like, Mary J. Blige, everyone else, and 50 Cent at the Super Bowl halftime show years ago. I really hope they talked about how much they hate Drake. And I really hope that 50 Cent comes out and sings part of a song with Drake because of how much he hates.
Do you remember when Kendrick, 50 sorry. Cent, like, instead of doing the Ice Bucket Challenge, he nominated that, like, I think it was a box, was it a boxer who, like, he hated? He, like, who's been hit in the head too many times? He, like, he's like, if you, instead of this Ice Bucket Challenge, he said, if you can read me one page out of the Harry Potter book, I will give you this organization $10,000. Well, then he was like, nah, that dude can't read that. If he can read one page of the Cat in the Hat, like.
50 Cent's so funny. Like, he, not only is he petty, but he has resources where he can take his pettiness
to. Yeah, that's my dream.
Here's what I'm gonna say. The Beatles thing is all well and good. I am upset because we don't have to keep digging old music up.
Yeah. No one asked.
Why in the 2024 Grammys are we having a Beatles song nominated for 2 Grammys?
Yeah, why does it even need to be nominated? Sure, restore it so the fans can hear it.
100%. 100%. And that's the problem that I have, is that it's nominated for such a prestigious award in music. That, like, that's what, like, you're telling me that Hozier's Too Sweet couldn't have been nominated.
That didn't get a single nomination?
No. He's not nominated for anything this year.
Because, like, on one end, yes, this is a prestigious award, sure. But also,
it's fixed as hell.
At the other side, you mean to tell me that this in 2024, when the entire world is going to hell, I'm expected to care about millionaire people getting a gold trophy for singing songs?
That's what they want you to do.
Yes, yeah, and I just, I don't buy it. Like, I'm not here for it.
And that's why they're getting the gays. Because they're just like, Chappell's gonna be there, and you're like, fuck!
And then, like, I get excited naturally when, like, people like Jack White get nominated, specifically because, like, he is on his own record label. He doesn't have to play into anything that they want him to play into. He records and produces his own music, essentially, in his basement.
And it's been a while since his last nomination, I think, hasn't it?
And so then they nominate him, and I think that's cool. And it's finally, because usually it's Imagine Dragons. They're trying to convince us that Imagine Dragons is a rock band. They're trying to convince us that Imagine Dragons is a real band, And then secondly, that they're a rock band. Yeah. And thirdly, they're trying to convince us that they have fans. And three things that I don't believe. And I also don't like the Grammys, well, A, for all of that, and B, because it's the time of year when gays get the most misogynistic. They're always here for women, they're here, they love women so much, and then, you know, Taylor Swift wins over Brat, or Brat wins over Beyonce, or, you know, any girl wins over any other girl, then immediately that girl's a stupid, dumb bitch with no talent at all. And it's like, whoa, buddy.
The second I saw who all was nominated for some of these, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be bad.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be bad in the sense that, like, yeah, it's exactly what you said. Like, a lot of people in fucking stan culture have their stans nominated for something.
Because the gays start acting like straight men watching football. Like, if they could go burn down cars outside because, like, Chapel Roan lost, like, it's...
Yeah. Like,
calm down, girl.
Well, this can bring us into the Fear Me Out segment.
Ooh.
So this technically, here's a description that we have of this segment. Discord and Beth inevitably argue about people they find fuckable, but always come to find some sort of common ground. You don't necessarily have to find common ground. And I'm sure there's going to be moments where it's like, this is done.
But we did find common ground just today for the first time, or yesterday on Instagram. Heath Ledger.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And he's blonde, so shocking
he
on my end.
He is very blonde. Mm-hmm. There, we have to, I'm eventually going to make, like, a wall of blonde men that are approved
by us. That makes me
us.
Sad. Oh, okay. I was like, that's a wall that makes me very sad.
You gotta listen to me.
Men have no business being naturally blonde.
But against all odds, they persist. I just want to know who started it. Sam Reed is a natural blonde, and that is one of the big...
Is that the stat?
Yeah.
That's our biggest, like, hot button issue.
Because I just don't understand where your brain is at, that where you don't think that that's
the most beautiful thing on the planet. Well, I think half of the problem is that whenever he's on screen, he's consistently next to Louis, who is hot.
Oh, lethal face card.
So I have Louis, and then I'm expected to, like, think this man who looks like a melting wax figure with blonde hair is hot? I just don't think so. It's giving, like, I just, like, sculpted you out of, like,
Marble?
No, not marble. More marble. Like the Pillsbury Doughboy, and like he's just like doughy and like melty and like not doughy as in like.
I'll have to say you that because we've all seen him with his shirt off.
Term doughy as in like a weight kind of thing. I just mean as in like his face skin looks like it was like wax or like dough, and they like just kind of.
We will never have him on the podcast. He'll never want to come here.
I want to think he's hot. I do.
I'm convinced you don't. I'm convinced that you're just like,
because I love Lestat, like the character Lestat. I'm attracted to your personality. I'm attracted to what you do. I'm attracted to the idea of Lestat. Everything about Lestat.
He's a Scorpio.
Everything about Lestat is hot, except for like him.
So do you prefer the Brad Pitt Lestat?
Well, Brad Pitt was a movie, so I don't prefer Tom Cruise in anything.
Yeah.
But I do prefer Queen of the Damned New Metal Lestat, because he was hot. Imagine thinking Tom Cruise is attractive.
Hey,
who am I, Rosie O'Donnell?
In no way would I compare to Rosie O'Donnell. I can promise you that. I will make sure if there's anything I do for you, I will never compare you to Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, I mean, you don't have to promise that. Because let me tell you, she's like. In the fifth grade, I wrote a 5-page essay of why she was. I had to write 1 page. I wrote a 5-page essay about why she was my hero, and my mom emailed it to her to get it in her magazine. And then, fast forward to like, you know, many many years later, as a grown adult drag queen, I'm in a pageant, and you have to talk about like one of the Q&As was like, "Who's your hero?" Oh, immediately right back to Rosie, right back. That's my queen. I have the Rosie Barbie. I used to come home every day from school. I would pop 2 bags of popcorn. I would watch the Rosie O'Donnell show, and I would scrape the butter from the inside of the bag and just eat it.
You said scrape is so nice. You said scrape. And which it really put me there. My vice was the Pokemon shaped mac and cheese. And I would watch Pokemon. It just felt really immersive.
You should have done it while watching Rosie.
No. Rosie and I don't... Reba McEntire was my Rosie.
Why didn't she ever get a talk show?
Reba McEntire?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Mm-hmm. That I would watch that.
Question. Oh my god, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What she did have, for some reason, a line of lipstick.
For some reason. I think she was in on the joke. I think she knew what she was doing.
I don't know.
You don't think... She had to.
I mean... Maybe you don't she be Reba. She has a good sense of humor.
You don't be Reba McEntire and release a... lipstick line and not know.
Yeah. Who do you want to convince me is hot?
Who do I want to convince? Oh. Maddie Healy.
You can't even say the fucking name.
I would like to convince everybody that Maddie Healy is hot. Because I know I'll never convince anyone that MGK is hot. Like, that's just my... I love him. But Maddie Healy is hot. Hot.
You showed me a picture of Maddie.
You literally
at his hottest, and I said, "Are you kidding me? Are you actually fucking?"
You said, "Are you
me?
Sure that's a picture you want to show me?"
I did. Because I was so beside myself, like this can't possibly be you giving.
There's been no scenario in which you thought, "Okay, he's a little cute."
I. Every time I look at him, I'm like, he looks like a bellboy. Like, he looks like he should be taking my bags up to my room.
Okay.
And then leaving. And then leaving. Discord. Me giving him a $5 tip and say, thank you.
He's the kind of attractive to me that when he's on the screen, mm-hmm. I'm, like, overwhelmed and almost, like, want to turn the music video off because I'm so upset at how hot he is.
Wow.
It's, like, overwhelming.
He's like Elvis to you. You're like a woman passing out in the aisles because Elvis Presley moved his hips.
Well, I feel that way about Elvis, too, so it checks out. I think Elvis was, like, how I knew I was gay. It was, like, Elvis and Spike from Buffy were, like, oh, my God.
Oh, Elvis Presley. Oh, my God. That combo is horrific.
I have a giant heart right here tattooed on me with Elvis's face in it.
You're fucking joking me.
No, I would show you, but I don't think these pants go up that high.
Can I say right now publicly how much I fucking hate Elvis?
Well, you should.
Like, yeah. I hate his music. I don't think... If we're not... Like, ugh. fucking House of Wax looking motherfuckers. Elvis belongs there.
He's like my, like, I just feel like he's my one problematic, like, my one.
Right.
Literally every person I've attracted, literally every person I've named right now on this couch is attractive, yeah, is a problematic favorite.
I was about to say, there's a club of ones, and it's like 20 people deep, and the list is long.
I just think, like, if you have a gay awakening, how do you lose it? You know what I mean? Like, if you're this, as like a, you know, 8-10-year-old boy, and you're like, this is like the man I think is hot. Like, you know, how does that love go away? Like, do you have somebody like that?
Joan Jett was my gay awakening.
Well, she's objectively hot, though. Yes. Like,
And then Charlie's Angels.
Okay.
Like, the first Charlie's Angels movie.
I guess those are problematic, so you don't have to, like, reckon with that.
Oh, no, I'm great. I'm in clear sense. Like, Lucy Liu is the big one for me, probably. And she's spotless. She makes Japanese-inspired lesbian art, like, massive paintings.
Oh, she's my queen.
Yeah, no, she's incredible. Like, she's only done cooler things as she's gotten older.
I think the common ground we can find in this conversation will always be women.
Yeah, it's true.
Because I'm not attracted to male celebrities. So it's like, I've learned that about there's you. Like three, and they're all booked, but they're on heroin or have been on heroin. Like, the through line is drugs, I think. So if you look like you should be in rehab, I'm probably attracted to you.
But then I feel like there's some people.
Like Kurt Cobain, love him.
Kurt Cobain's objectively
MGK, beautiful. Hot. No. Maddie Healy, hot. No. Elvis, hot. Guess what? Oh, I'm coming. Probably about to die from drugs. Or so have to die from drugs.
Yeah. I mean, we started strong with you saying.
And then when they do die, they're basically turning into Jack Skellington, who's probably a hot character, so.
And probably dying with a hat.
Mm-hmm. So I think. Yes. But women, I mean, the amount of women that are celebrities that I find attractive is endless.
Yeah. Probably the same as the list of strung out dudes that you think are attractive. But it's like women just living their lives beautifully and normally, but you're like men living their worst lives.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I can't even think, like, who's a wholesome man in Hollywood? Like Michael Cera? Nobody's like, I think Michael Cera's hot. But I think he's probably a good guy. Do you have a controversial, like, female that you think is attractive? Because that's what I want to say. Like, we haven't found a woman that we disagree on. So, like, I wonder if you have one that, like, might not be what the average person thinks is hot.
I think I love people that have, like, interesting facial features and something that makes, like I love, I think that someone like Anna Taylor-Joy is beautiful, like, mm-hmm. because of how, like, large her eyes are, yeah. and, like, the portions on her face. I guess some people say that Tilda Swinton is controversial.
But she's cool. She's so cool.
I think that Tilda Swinton's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, just, I was watching Constantine the other day, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm, like, so in love with you in this. It's crazy how stunning you are. I guess her.
I don't know. I mean, I'm, like, literally sitting here racking my brain trying to think of, like, some actress that's just, like, ugly.
Like, I can find a reason that a woman's beautiful. It does
not
take
me long. That's what I think. I'm like, no, she's hot. No, she's hot. No, yep. She's hot for this reason. Like, I don't... Who am I not attracted to? Like, I don't want to say Amy Schumer, because, like, that's just such an obvious answer.
Way to break down the vibe. Really brought this place the fuck down.
She probably uses Reba's lipstick.
Amy Schumer and I are not friends. She knows that, though.
She knows. She's aware. She knows what she did.
She's gotten my letters. So this is our giving homework segment, where Scorpios are going to discuss media that the other person needs to watch or listen to. Then next time we record an episode, we'll report back with our reviews and how it was. Do you have one for me? I feel like I have a couple for you, so I need to...
Is this a singular song or is this an album?
You can do an album.
Because obviously I'm going to yell at you and make you listen to the new Jack White album that for some reason you haven't listened to yet, despite it being out for like months
now. Let me re-download it.
And for those who don't know about this new Jack White album, it's particularly cool because Jack White did not announce that he was releasing an album. What Jack White did instead...
He pulled a Beyonce.
He did it even cooler than Beyonce. People were shopping at his record store in London, in Detroit, in Tennessee, in Nashville. And if they bought something, they received a blank vinyl in their bag, unknowing what was on it. And when they went home and put it on their turntable and hit play, it was a brand new entire Jack White album that nobody knew was coming out. And then He furthermore went to his Instagram and said, hey, whoever got that album, rip it and put it on the internet for free for people to listen to, because I don't need money from record labels. And then there was an album, and then he released it for people to have to buy. And then currently he's going on tour in a way where he doesn't release a list of tour dates. He just says, hey, in 2 days, I'm going to be at this venue. Hope you get tickets. That's cool. What a cool man.
Same like the coolest industry. Man. Yeah.
So I think you should listen to that.
And I'm re-downloading it as we speak.
And read. So you took it, you put it on your phone, took it off your phone. God. That's crazy.
I didn't take it off my phone. I probably just like downloaded it, but didn't complete it. I don't know.
Well, it goes.
Insert excuse here.
What's cool about it is it's back to like the White Stripes vibes, where it sounds like he recorded the entire album in one take. It is just raw, like guitar and drums and Jack White.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Love it.
What about you? What do I have to listen to?
Do you want a movie? Do you want a TV show? Do you want an album?
Well, I'm going to watch The Substance.
Okay,
on great. Your on your behalf. Well, because I already wanted to watch it anyways.
Yeah, I don't have to do much convincing about that.
But if there's music you want me to listen to also, all I do is drive, so I've got nothing but time.
Have you listened to Doechii?
Oh, I love her.
Okay.
I just saw her with Doja Cat last year.
She's Tampa born.
It was
that?
Her set was so cool. Yeah, I did know that because it made sense why her whole set was Swamp.
Yeah, because I kept seeing that popping up, like her performances and everything. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to look into why this aesthetic is the way that it is. And I love knowing it. Have you listened to the Dead Man's Bones album yet?
No, what's that?
Okay, great. So Dead Man's Bones is a duo of guys half made up of Ryan Gosling.
Oh, you were telling me about this.
I was. I'll tell you about it again. And it accompanies with a children's choir. I can't remember the name of the children's choir. I believe the rule was no guitars allowed. So it's a lot of like keyboard and drums. And then all the songs are done in less than four takes.
Interesting.
And
do you think I'll like it?
I think you will.
Okay.
It has kind of like, it has, I hate saying this, like it's such a thing to say, but it has like very spooky vibes to it.
Yeah.
It's very like haunting music. One of the songs in The Room Where You Sleep is actually in the movie The Conjuring. And it's really good and I love it. And I kind of discovered them independent of knowing that it was Ryan Gosling. Mm. I was like, oh my gosh, this band from this movie I like is so great. I haven't listened to them more often. And I was like, oh my God, it's fucking Ryan Gosling. So he had musical experience before doing La La Land.
I'm learning a lot about actors who are secretly in bands this year.
I love it.
I was at Riot Fest and unbeknownst to me, Michael C. Hall's band was there.
Oh my God,
he's in a band. Yeah.
He's in a band. What's her name from Saturday Night Live? Maya Rudolph is in a band.
Well, he's in a Prince tribute band.
Yes,
yeah.
Princess, which, oh my gosh.
What an angel.
I saw her doing that song. Give me one margarita, I'ma open my legs. Like, I love you so much. Obviously, Joe Carey from Stranger Things is in a band, which I love. And he's making a new album again. I'm so excited.
Well, I think everybody who listens should also listen to these albums that
yes.
So it's No Name by Jack White and
Dead Man's Bones by Dead Man's Bones.
Really, so if you listen to it, let us know what you think.
And give us your review because they're both good and we know it.
Yeah, if you don't like it, just listen to it again. It's probably fine.
So
my friend in Chicago
there we go.
Told me that he has discovered, and this is true, the squirrels are mating with the Chicago rats.
Oh.
Like, they're fucking. And I'm convinced it's the squirrels' plan for, like, further domination of the world. Because they're probably, like, walking around being like, these fucking rats in Chicago, they're big. These are big guys. How do we get bigger?
These rats are
Let's crazy. Fuck them.
Yeah, I mean...
Can you imagine, like, the rats in Chicago are scary enough. Can you imagine walking around and seeing a squirrel rat? Like, they're both rodents, so I get it, but knock it off.
And rats can already, like, climb up trees pretty well, so now they're just gonna be able to climb up trees.
Well, now can you imagine, like, a rat king of, like, squirrels and rats just all tangled up in, like, the streets of Chicago?
Ew. Ew, I can imagine it now. Ew.
Just falling out of trees. Just rat kings falling out of trees.
Imagine one of those falling on your head, on your wig, and then you just have...
That's what, it's your wig now. Well, that's what the drag queens in Chicago look like anyways. It looks like that fell. That's what they're doing. You found it. You discovered that secret.
I'm not trying to make enemies in Chicago.
They can't do anything but type. It's fine. Like, you're mean. Okay. People love to cancel women.
They do. People hate us so much.
Like a woman doing a thing, we should make that not happen.
Yeah. I want that to be illegal, I think.
This woman has an opinion. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be so horrible if I just destroyed that?
Yeah. Like, what if they didn't have opinions?
I'm passing out.
This is going to come up a lot. I could talk about this every day.
I know
you can. Not even every episode, every day.
Every day. Right? Can I tell you, I am beside myself about Brendon Urie performing at When We Were Young.
That also pissed me off. He's going
to perform all of A Fever You Can't Sweat Out.
By himself?
Yeah.
Without Ryan Ross?
Without Ryan Ross.
Go fuck yourself. How about that?
Because there's no fucking way Ryan Ross is going to be there. Like,
no. You don't get to perform that album.
You sure fucking don't.
That's not your album.
It's not.
You were the vocals.
That's all you provided.
I doubt he even read a single one of those Chuck Palahniuk books that entire album was basically made. You don't know Invisible Monsters.
Ryan Ross did all the work.
All of the work.
And made that album a beautiful piece of art that it is. Mm-hmm. And it's nice having Brendon's voice in it. Like, it's perfect for the project. I think that Brendon Urie's voice was perfect for that album, but not perfect for this band.
Yeah. I like Pretty Odd, also.
Yeah.
You don't like that album?
I have my own.
I mean, that one was extra Ryan Ross.
And I want to say, I'm an avid Panic at the Disco fan. I've read most of the Milk fic. And for those who know, I'm so sorry. Do you know anything about that? I'm going to give you a very quick summary. It's a Ryan Ross, Brendon Urie fan fiction.
Of course it is.
A milk enema. And I'll move on.
Obviously. Why wouldn't it?
Yeah, why wouldn't it? That I'm pretty sure it was posted on LiveJournal. I don't want Brendon Urie anywhere near that fucking album. I really don't.
If I said to my friend Kat, hey Kat, who's the person you hate most in this entire world? And I think she would say Brendon Urie.
That's a good one.
She hates Panic at the Disco with every fiber in her body.
I can understand that. Every part of Panic at the Disco?
Every. I mean, she doesn't like pop punk in that era of music in general, but extra. Mm. Extra Panic at the Disco. Oh yeah, love it.
I just love it.
I was just having a discussion with my friend, who's also a Scorpio, about how one of the reasons that I love that specific era of pop punk, especially like Fall Out Boy, Panic at the Disco, Taking Back Sunday, Brand New, is that they were all writing lyrics that were well above a sixth grade reading level.
100%.
Like, there are words on words, like words that should not be in music.
Yes.
Words that are not melodic, and they managed to make it music, and they managed to, like, I don't know, make your brain work.
Yeah.
Because now lyrics are like, that's me espresso. And like, that, I love that song, but it's like, what are we saying?
Yeah. Yeah, you listen to one song from A Fever You Can't Sweat Out and you feel smarter.
So much smarter.
Like, it's the weirdest thing. But yeah, there was like...
Taking Back Sunday had layers. You have one person saying more than words than they ever should, on top of another person saying completely other words. And it's just so many words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot of those... This is going to sound stupid, but a lot of those songs made me want to, like, read the books that they were referencing.
Yeah.
Or watch the dumb movies they were referencing. Look up the sports reference that Fall Out Boy made.
Reading Invisible Monsters after, like, having listened to Time to Dance, I was like, or I think that's the song that one's based off of. It was just so cool because I had heard that album before I had read that book. But then as you're reading the book, like, you just see, like, the direct lines that those lyrics were taken from. Like, starting on the first page of that book.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
And that's probably what Ryan Ross, when he wrote those, was hoping people would
do. And it's my favorite book, so that helps.
Oh, well, then there you go. Mm-hmm. Match Made in Heaven. I miss Ryan Ross.
I miss Ryan Ross. Did you ever listen to the Weather Vanes? What was that band called?
The Young Vanes.
Thank you. The Weather Vanes?
I surely did listen to The Young Vanes, and
I don't like his voice very much, is where my problem. I like his lyrics, but not his vocals.
And that was kind of the public opinion, is that it was nice having Brendon's voice to filter, like, it was nice to have his voice with Ryan's lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And then when there wasn't cool shit for Brendon Urie to be saying, we didn't want him to fucking say anything. And it was just a lot of Vegas and drugs and for albums and albums and albums.
Yeah, you lost the whimsy of the lyrics.
Yeah.
And it's like bullshit. That it's like I don't like Panic at the Disco because of Brendon Urie. I like them because of the lyrics, and Brendon Urie is singing those lyrics.
Yes. Yeah. And it's...
Imagine having Fall Out Boy without Pete Wentz. I don't even like Pete Wentz, really, but, like, lyrically, what's Fall Out Boy without Pete Wentz?
And I've listen, I followed Patrick Stump very actively on his Soul Punk tour. I saw one of his concerts twice. I met him, like, three times. He's a lovely, lovely man. So delightful. Patrick Stump, I would die for you. I was on the fucking Black Cards. I don't know if you remember that band that Pete Wentz did with BB Rexha.
I try to not allow anything that has to do with BB Rexha into like my like bubble.
Completely fair.
So I didn't even know this existed.
Oh yeah, and it's I was on their street team, so I was like
they
doing
were in a band together.
Yeah.
Is this like when Cobra Starship was like trying to sing with like Leighton Meester? Was it like that era of weird?
It was after that. Slightly after that. Mm. Oh, God. I forgot about that. And then I listened to the Damned Things, which is the band that Andy and Joe did together. That was, like, the metal band that they did. I listened to all of their side projects. And I was still like, please just make all the way out. Like,
and then it did, and then it was like, why?
Say Rock and Roll was good!
Oh, no, that's like, okay, you're right. No, that... It's all post that album that yeah. I have questions. It was the Imagine Dragons stage of Fall Out Boy. Fall Out Boy's like one of my top favorite bands of all time.
Yes, and same. They are my favorite band of all time. We have discussed we'll discuss it here. The unfortunate. I feel the same way about this that I feel about Queen, where Queen's music doesn't belong in a sports energy.
Yeah.
And like I feel similarly about some of Fall Boy's music, and I feel like some of their music leans in that direction when it's like, oh, we're in sports commercials, we're gonna make another sports commercial.
Well, because they fell into that trap in that like early mid 2000s, like the 2010s era of the stomp clap music. So
exactly.
like not in a We Will Rock You way, but more in an Imagine Dragons thunder way.
Yeah.
And I genuinely believe we almost lost Fall Out Boy to Imagine Dragons.
They do this. Fall Out Boy keeps kind of doing this though.
I was like when we had this huge resurgence of pop punk music, I was like, yep, Fall Out Boy's gonna come back and they're gonna give us a Take This to Your Grave again. And they said, you know what we're gonna do? Not that. They said we don't want to give you nostalgia. And we're like, but that's what you're good at.
Is this Mania that you're referring to?
Mania.
American Beauty, American Psycho,
and even. The most recent one isn't, like, my favorite. Like, I don't hate it, but it's still not...
It's definitely better.
It was this... Actually, it was this newest album, specifically, is when they were, like, we're not going to, like, rehash what we used to do.
Yeah.
We're gonna just give you Fall Out Boy how we want to give you Fall Out Boy.
And I think that it's one of the more quintessential Fall Out Boy albums that's been out in a while.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'll listen to that one. I won't listen to American Beauty because I tried... The title track is amazing.
Oh, it's so good. And people hated it when it first came out. They're like, oh, this is like country ass shit. I'm like, you guys don't fucking know anything. This is so good. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Who do you think has a better vocals, Brendon Urie or Patrick Stump?
I wish I could talk about this for 2 hours. Because Brendon Urie on his best day couldn't touch Patrick Stump on his fucking worst day.
Thank you.
There is slander going around that Brendon Urie is a better vocalist. And I'm sorry. Like, Patrick Stump, when he was 19, in the Take This to Your Grave time period, had 10 times better vocals than Brendon Urie does. As a seasoned person who's been on Broadway, like, his voice cracks every fucking time. He fucking drinks too much when on stage, so he physically cannot hold a note very well. He's cracking in the middle of notes that he thinks he can hit.
He does that turkey gobble.
Yes. And I can pinpoint the exact moment in the Panic of the Disco live in Denver performance where he hits a high note and I could see the look on his face. He hits it. It's surprised. It's really good. And I can tell he's like, I'm going to keep doing this. They're not going to get me to stop hitting these high notes. And he never fucking stopped.
No.
And Patrick Stump does not have to do all of that. The dude is doing vocal gymnastics, consistently playing an instrument. Brendon Urie rarely plays instruments while he sings.
I can't imagine
he's always backflipping and yelling and screaming and wearing a sparkly ass jacket or no fucking shirt, which we don't need either of those.
Whenever people tell me with a straight face that they, without a doubt, know that Brendon Urie is a better vocalist than Patrick Stump, I'm like, but we all have ears.
Yeah.
And it's objectively not true.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even put myself in a space where the reality is that what they're saying is correct.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause it's just not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to me, it sounds like saying that Katy Perry is a better singer than Adele. 'Cause, like, how could you, with a person who has ears, say it?
Yeah. And that's with Panic at the Disco's simple ass lyrics too. Like Patrick Stump is still singing things that are lyrically dense and lyrically complex.
Yeah.
And still like going above and beyond. And Brendon Urie's singing things with simple ass lyrics and flubbing the vocals still.
Still, yeah. I think about Panic at the Disco live and it makes me think about Katy Perry singing Firework live. They give me the same bad feeling.
Yeah. Because you're right. Like, I saw Panic at the Disco, what? I guess it was the last time they were here in Tampa. Because, like, Brian hadn't seen them. I was like, let's see them. It's a good show. Like, it's like a reunion, like, kind of thing. So they're doing a lot of old songs. And just hearing this man squeal his way through shit was so upsetting, and I anticipated every vocal move he was gonna do, so it wasn't even an exciting show to watch. I'm like, I know it's coming up, and it did, and then people flipped out.
And I almost feel bad saying all of this when Taking Back Sunday exists, because somebody needs to stop them. Somebody needs to gently touch Adam on the shoulder and be like, I think we're done.
That video you showed me of him rolling around,
I'm going to edit that into the video. Please. So people can see it.
Please, because that was, like, embarrassing.
Embarrassing. Like, I felt secondhand embarrassment for him. And this was, like, this was 2 weeks after I saw him at Riot Fest. We watched three songs, and we walked away. And the first song, so we arrived, one of the bands we were most excited to see at Riot Fest was Taking Back Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to them probably every day. I love them so much. Well, like, their first three albums. I don't know anything past that, because why do you need to? Nobody asked for you to make that many albums. Like, the thing about Taking Back Sunday is they were never vocally good anyways. Like, even on their album, they're not good, but it's like, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you don't go to a Taking Back Sunday show expecting great things, but you don't go to a show expecting absolutely horrible, awful, terrible things, which is what I got.
Right.
So we arrived at the stage where they were supposed to be playing, and I was like, I don't know this song.
Mm-hmm.
B, I don't know this voice. Like, I was like, is the last band, like, running late?
Man.
Like, I was like, Riot Fest is really on time. Like, it doesn't make sense that somebody would be running late, but maybe they are, 'cause I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah.
I wasn't even being, like, an asshole and sarcastic. I literally thought there was another band on stage that was just wrong.
Fucking it up.
So I looked it up, and I was like, no, that's Taking Back Sunday. I was like, this is not good, but let's just wait. Let's just wait it out. We watched two more songs. He was only singing, like, every fourth word of the song anyways.
Oh,
and, like, making the audience, yes, who is one of the top two worst concerts I've ever seen.
I don't doubt it. I don't fucking doubt
her and Marilyn Manson take the cake for worst concerts of all time ever.
Oh. Oh.
So needless to say, we left Taking Back Sunday and went and watched the rest of Beck, who's an actually gifted musician.
Yeah. Because here's the thing that sucks so much about something like that being so disappointing, is a band like Taking Back Sunday or All Time Low or something like that might not have the staying power or the fandom still to do, like, an arena tour.
Yeah.
Or a legitimate tour. So yeah, something no like Riot
Well, All Time Low could.
Probably.
They are strangely, weirdly popular for a band that I do not listen to.
Same. And good for them. But something like Riot Fest or When We Were Young Fest is a great opportunity as an artist of that genre to be like, great, 50% of the work I had to do, aka getting people there who want to see me there, is getting them there.
Mm-hmm.
This festival already did that. Now all I have to do is deliver.
Yeah.
All I have to do is be good.
Yeah.
All I have to do is, and not be better than you were when you were a scummy 20-year-old doing it.
Just
this.
Adjust your voice.
Just adjust what you can do. Because people are going to be singing the rest of it for you.
Like, at this point, lip sync.
Yeah, bro. I would rather have that than see the fucking monstrosity that was in that video. Because I'd be so sad and so disappointed.
We're at a point where Katy Perry could sing Taking Back Sunday better than Taking Back Sunday
Again. You have serious beef with Katy
Perry. Oh, I hate
today.
Her. Have you seen an artist who just, like, has less integrity?
I met her and it was...
At Warped Tour?
No, I met her when I worked at Disney.
I met her at Warped Tour.
She got... It was her and, like, 10 people going on Rock and Roller Coaster where I worked. Mm. And she was like, hey, should I take my hat off? And I was like, well, the ride goes like in 0 to 60 miles an hour in like 2 seconds. So like, I probably would. And she's like, I'm just going to keep it on because it goes with my outfit. And I'm like, I mean, they're not going
to see you. Why'd you ask?
And I literally said, like, Katie, they're not going to see you in there.
Katie.
For some reason, every time I met a famous person at Disney, I would make it a point to be like, Miley.
Girl. Yeah.
we can't. Ariana.
Yeah, we can't do.
So these are our final thoughts / closing arguments. Each Scorpio gets however amount of minutes to convince our listeners of a controversial opinion.
That's such a good one. I don't think I prepared a controversial opinion. And it's such a good segment.
I'm going to go first.
Yeah, please.
I'm going to do this in a specific style. I'm going to do this in every time. Your Honor, my defendant, pop music, only has hatred towards her because pop music is known for being liked by young women and young girls. And obviously the world is inherently sexist. There's nothing wrong with pop music. There's never been anything wrong with pop music. And it's the backbone for a lot of other music creations. And a lot of people borrow from pop music and take the things that they want and then will make it cooler by some other way. When pop music isn't trying to be cool, it's trying to be fun, it's trying to be exciting, it's trying to be catchy. Like, it's genuinely music that's like trying to be stuck in your ear and be catchy. And I think that that takes a lot of time and a lot of art to have something that gets stuck in your head, because there's plenty of music that I love, that I respect, that's good, that does not get stuck in my head, and I don't want to listen to it on repeat because maybe it's too precious or it's too well done. But pop music is beautiful in the sense that you always know what you're going to get from it, and then when it's something above that, you're very excited. Like when something like art pop happens, it's like, whoa, holy shit, this is like so above and beyond what I could have expected. And it's nice when those things happen, or when a Chapel Roan happens, like, it's so nice seeing what people can do with pop music. And I don't think that it's a genre that deserves the hate that it has or the disrespect that it has, and I think it's inherently sexist.
Well, it's interesting too, because like, I would venture to say there's not a single person on the planet Earth that hates that likes zero pop songs.
Exactly.
Like, everybody has pop songs that they like, and not just one.
Yeah.
It's not possible, because like, pop is a genre, but there's so many different types of pop. Like, not all pop music sounds the same.
Yes.
So
Tyler, the Creator has some pop songs and some pop albums. Paramore has some pop songs and some pop albums. Justin Timberlake has pop songs.
Yeah, everybody. Like, even like rock bands, like, you know, have pop songs or like pop adjacent songs or are following pop formulas.
And yet,
like The Hives, that's all pop music, even though it is very gritty garage rock, but it's all pop. Nickelback is a pop band.
Hey,
that's a pop band.
Say it.
That is a rock band parade, like pretending.
And I feel like whenever men do it, it's just seen as so cool and so fun. And
I would argue that most pop music by men is bad.
And I would say it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always
embarrassing.
Loved... Yeah.
Especially like boy bands who don't stop.
Yeah.
Stop being a boy band. Mm-hmm. Nobody asked to watch the like Backstreet Boys come back and do their little dances.
Just because they're still alive doesn't mean we should parade them.
There's something inherently embarrassing about watching 50-year-old men synchronize dancing.
Because it reads as... show choir. It reads as adult a cappella.
Yeah.
And no one wants to fucking see that. Like,
boy bands should be inherently used for the first 2 years of their career as like 18-year-old boys making their way in pop music. And then it should be done exclusively every time.
Like, the shelf life that One Direction had, like,
probably foresaw anyone's expectations. Mm-hmm. I
feel like they were well, and they were smart because they were just pumping out an album every year.
Yes, they really like, let's just get them out. And so they didn't really give people a chance to be like, should they be making music? They're like, we're already doing it.
There's another one coming out.
Great, we love you guys. Yeah, they had very fascinating and long staying power that is not expected of a boy band, especially mm-hmm. now. And it was like the last, excluding K-pop bands. This is only because I do not have a great knowledge of K-pop. That was like the last boy band, like pop boy band of its time.
I would almost argue that boy bands shouldn't exist at all, period.
I don't see a world where they exist anymore.
Oh, they will. Because they're, I think that they are solely created specifically by the music industry as a way to sell sex to young girls who are figuring out what their bodies feel. Yeah. And those girls are going to buy tickets.
Yeah.
Because they are incredibly influential. Mm-hmm. And so they, boy bands have to exist for as long as the music industry exists. Because it's not real.
You've seen Josie and the Pussycats, right?
That was one of my favorite movies. The CD is in my car.
I love... I love... Like, I that's going to have to be another question I ask you. It's like, A, like, what CD do you want stuck in your car for the next 10 years?
And I'll go pull them out. Because I got them. I found them all.
I gotta know. Because Josie and the Pussycats, like, really is like... That movie is such a great encapsulation of what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. The studio's like, let's pump out another boy band. This one died in a car crash. Let's do another one.
Yeah.
So we can sell our shit.
Like, I'm a lot more into the idea of, like, you know, being, like, when you think of, like, the crazy, like, young girl fans, young boy fans, like, it's a lot more, there's a lot more integrity to it when it's, like, towards... If something, if you like rewind to like the Rolling Stones, because yes. They were making music that yes. they were making music. The industry wasn't writing the music for them. Mm-hmm. And that's what One Direction felt like, even though I loved One Direction. Like yeah. I was a One Direction fan. I know. But like that, they were just a puppet of a sex puppet singing songs that were way too inappropriate. Do you ever listen to their lyrics back and be like, oh no,
yeah,
that's very bad.
And I started doing that more when I listened to songs from Josie and the Pussycats. I was like, Backdoor Lover is about anal sex.
Yeah.
And I can't believe at my young age, I was very verbally singing that song.
Well, that's the same thing if you rewind back to like our parents' age and like Grease and like yeah! kids going around singing Grease Lightning. That song's not like good.
It's not good. It's not. They made an SNL sketch about that. And they're like, oh, we got to change the lyrics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
In it, I want to say it might be Christopher Walken who's in it. I can't, it's one of my favorite ones. I haven't seen in a while, but yeah, like it's crazy. But then I have a 10-year-old, and so like hearing her sing certain songs, I'm just like, wow, it's good. I'm like, because there's no harm in that aspect of it. I'm like, they don't fucking know what it is.
Yeah, like I know, I reached that age where I was like, oh my god, like I'm a slave for you, that's so bad. And like then you watch her performance and you're like, oh my god, this is why parents were mad. Like she is naked on stage, but her audience mm-hmm. is targeted towards young people, but she's yeah. singing I'm a Slave for You, and then take acid and listen to Britney Spears, and that paints an even deeper layer of upset. So it's like, first I'm upset, like not on acid. I'm like, this song's hypersexual. She's yeah. naked. Yeah. She's specifically for 13-year-olds. Like yeah. that, this shouldn't be happening. Then you're like, oh, this is a very sex-driven song. This is about being a sex slave in a sexy way.
Yeah.
But then you take acid. It is no longer in a sexy way. And you're like, she is crying for help.
She's been crying for help all
this week. This song is a pure cry for help. Secretly wrapped in a sex blanket. But she's saying, I'm a slave for the music industry.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
No.
The song Overprotected is my favorite Britney Spears song. It's off the album Britney, the blue one. There's two blue ones, but it's the first blue one. It was in Crossroads, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I know it. Too.
Of course you know. Oh, I'm aware.
Oh, I know.
No, I know it. And yeah, same thing. Really fucking devastating song that like I'm sure I was singing and dancing to specifically on the Britney Spears Live in Vegas VHS.
Oh, I just watched that recently. I love it.
Oh my god. And yeah, where she's like in a clear outfit with rain pouring on her.
Yeah.
Singing, I think oh my gosh. I can't remember. It's I'm Not That Innocent one. Sorry, I can't remember the name.
Oops, I did it again.
Thank you. And I'm just like, oh.
Well, did you ever see like the lore about like how, especially I think it was probably Blackout era when they were really trying to like destroy her. Mm-hmm. Like she was real because like she writes a lot of her own lyrics. Yeah. And she writes the melodies and everything.
Because she's a lot of choreographing.
Yeah, because she's a smart girl. And there's a lot of, because she wasn't in charge of herself, like, she wrote a lot of songs that they wouldn't let her put on albums because they were even louder cries for help. Mm. And did you see that she was uploading them to her website? So, like, kind of like in a MySpace way where you go to her website and a song plays, but you can't, like, you don't have control of where you hear it. Like, she had a lot of songs that she would upload that were, like, guys, pretty please, could you come rescue me and help me? This is not good. This is not bad. Like, everything is bad. And, yeah, I would love the Britney Spears. If I could, like, I think you go to heaven, you get to ask God one question to find out the truth about something. Any question at all?
Someone asked me this question the other day.
I think mine would be like, can I know the truth about Britney Spears? Because we'll never know. They will never. That's the secret that's going to die in Hollywood. They will never tell you the truth.
That and JonBenet Ramsey.
Mm-hmm. I would like to know the truth about Britney.
Those poor blonde hoes.
Yeah. I think they brainwashed her. I think they did that little MK Ultra on her. I could really get into the MK Ultra thing. I think that's real.
I think it's real.
I mean, it was real. Like, there's, like, FBI. Yeah. My thing about that is, like, okay, so you're going to be, like, the FBI or, like, you know, the CIA, the whatever, has this technology that is documented that we have it. And you mean to tell me you just stopped doing it?
Right.
We, like, the government that is well known for stopping bad things. They're like, you know what? You're right, guys. This is bad. Let's stop doing it.
Because anything the U.S. government does, it's show restraint.
Yeah. So clearly you just said, we stopped doing this.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Which actually leads to my controversial opinion that I would like to convince everybody of, and it's that I think that Donald Trump was supposed to be president this entire time, and it was the plan the whole time, and Kamala was never going to win. Nor did she want to. Nor did Biden want her to. I'm convinced that Donald Trump was, like, not supposed to be president in the way that I mean. I obviously did not want him to be president. I think that he is bad and evil and terrible and should be.
We'll say that up front. We hate Donald
Trump. This is not a pro-Donald Trump podcast.
And it never will be.
But I think that him winning, losing, was 1,000% intentional. Because I think that America, the government, has wanted a dictatorship. And they wanted us to want a dictatorship. They weren't, because I think that America learned everything it needed to learn during World War II. And here's my reasons why I think all of this. So we have, you know, FBI unclassified documents that you can read on the FBI's website about all of the Nazis that the American government deemed as useful based off of what they knew and what they did and what we could get out of them. And we brought them to America. We said, hey, guys, come with us. And we put them in places of the government and we used them for what they knew. And they were the things that America liked about Nazism, I'm sure. So I think that part of stopping the war was to get that. So we have the Nazis now. So we took the ones we like and we put them in the government. That doesn't stop. You know what I mean? Right. That doesn't go away. So now you have these Nazis, you know, living in neighborhoods. You have them put in places of government. We take the technology that the Nazis learned because they were very innovative in what they were fucking doing. And it was very evil and terrible. But America liked that. And they're like, we can use this to our advantage. We can do this, but better, I think is what it was. Like, I see you guys. Here's how we can improve on that. But we need you guys here now.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be overnight. This is going to be a long crawl. And I think it's the trajectory we've been on since the 40s. And I think the long-term goal was, you know, Christian nationalism into a dictatorship, into this. And they just needed, you know, the right people to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was ever, like, I don't think it was, like, you know, from the 90s, like, it's going to be Donald Trump. Like, yeah. But I think it was just the long-term goal.
It's a backwards Hunger Games happening, where Katniss was always supposed to be the Mockingjay.
Yeah.
But it's, like, the most twisted version.
Yeah, and they're like, we can do it. Like, it just starts by, like, okay, we're going to start making them slowly stupider. And we're going to, like, start gutting these things about education. And we're going to start giving them more and more poisonous food. So then you have that. And then you have, like, you know, the way that TV is and the way that pop music is. And then, you know, the consistent distractions. And then the consistent, like, we hate immigrants. We hate gay people. Yeah. We hate this. And then this year we don't. And then this year we do again. And so this is my actual controversial opinion, is that I have empathy for poor Republicans. And this is actually what I do want to convince people of, is that I don't have any empathy for rich Republicans because rich people know exactly what they're doing. They are inherently evil, especially if you were born into money. You don't know anything about struggle. You don't know anything. Like, your own struggles, like, you have them, but they're, like, irrelevant compared to, like, what the average American is going through.
Yeah.
And the average poor Republican is, if I were to sit down one-on-one and talk to them as an actual human being and not as a, like, super hyper left, like, you fucking suck, you ignorant hillbilly, like, nobody's going to respond to that.
Yeah.
But if I sit down and talk to them and actually ask them opinions, they're not Republicans. They are most likely anarchists. They most likely fucking hate the government. They don't trust the government. And for what reason? What reason has the government ever given them?
Yeah.
Ever. Like, they're poor. They're poor under Democrats. They're poor under Republicans. They're poor, poor, poor. And that's never changing. And they're always living paycheck to paycheck. So then what does Fox News do? It figures out propaganda, which goes back to probably bringing the Nazis over and figuring out how to master propaganda.
Yeah.
And if propaganda didn't work, then it wouldn't be propaganda.
Yeah.
So how the fuck am I supposed to be mad at somebody who is a victim of propaganda? Because, like, that's what it is literally intended to do. Mm-hmm. So then you have news propaganda mixed with a handful of, you know, usually poor Republicans often are also older people of our parents and grandparents' age, who now have the internet at their disposal. Mm-hmm. And how, like, you know, we grew up on the internet, so it's a lot easier for us to differentiate lies versus not lies.
Right.
Old people just trust what they read.
And they get their news from Facebook.
And social media is designed to put you in an echo chamber, no matter what that echo chamber is.
Like, oh, if you watched a video for 5 minutes about this, I'll give you another video. Yeah. Until that's all they're seeing.
That's all they're seeing.
You're not seeing any alternative version of news from a completely different standpoint.
Yeah. And then they're told from that echo bubble that the other people are lying to them, and it's not true. So you have this group of people who are growing and growing from misinformation from QAnon, misinformation from Elon Musk, misinformation from the richest people on the planet. If the richest people on the planet can obviously afford how to brainwash the average uneducated American, and, like, which was, again, by design. It was by design for them to be uneducated. It was by design for them to have to work instead of go to college. It was by design for them to get on the internet and read bullshit. And so then now they believe the bullshit that was peddled to them intentionally. And I'm supposed to hate them?
Yeah.
Because they were a victim of what the government did to them. And I just, it makes me sad. Because it's like, again, we have more in common with our neighbor who might be a Republican than we do with Donald Trump or with Kamala Harris or with literally any senator. Mm-hmm. Any, like, they have their rich people doing what they're doing to stay in power, doing what they're doing to make us hate. Because the more I hate my neighbor, the more divided I am from my neighbor. Yeah. And the less likely we are to take our hands and actually fucking stop the people who are doing all of this. Mm-hmm. And so it just makes me so irritated, especially the first week of election. I'm like, you need to disown your entire family. You need to disown your friends, your coworkers, you're this, you're that. And it's like, but I feel bad for them. Mm. And of course, there are exceptions to that when there are people who are just outwardly racist, transphobic pieces of shit. But I just, you know, I try to speak to everybody with tolerance unless they're being straight up ignorant. And, like, I've met a lot of, I'm from Ohio. Yeah. I obviously, and I live in Florida. I know and have met a lot of Republicans, and a lot of them don't fucking hate gay people. You know what I mean? A lot of them I've never heard them say a disparaging thing about a gay person. They all are just worried about the buzzwords that people give them, which is the economy, the paycheck. And so they've spent their entire life being poor. And you have this fake businessman who's promising them money. They just are designed to believe it.
Yeah.
So I just think we should have more empathy for our neighbors and less empathy for the government. Because, like, there's that whole paradox of tolerance and how you're supposed to not tolerate intolerance. And I agree with that. But I think I think it's how you interpret that. Because I think that there will be super hyper left and right people who share that and be like, see, this is why if I tolerate the intolerance, then it allows this to happen. And I agree with that. But they're trying to project it to your neighbor. And I think that we need to project that up.
I consistently bring up Hunger Games when I discuss politics because it really is one of the best interpretations of, like, a two-party system, propaganda, brainwashing of a political standpoint.
Yeah. And I feel like I felt like those were our options this year, coin or snow.
Yeah. And I get that. I see that comparison a lot in different years. And I'm always like, that's upsetting.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's bad.
That's bad.
So that's my most controversial opinion, that you're not allowed to type on the internet without getting yelled at.
But we can say it.
But we can say it.
Because that means that someone would have to get through an entire
however long this is going to be
to get to that. And that's why I put him at the end. So that way, if people care, they'll stick around.
But and I just think it's important. I just don't think we should be ripping our families apart for things they didn't know better.
And yeah, there needs to be conversations being had. I think a lot of people are still afraid to talk about politics. And I hate to bring up Cabaret again. If we talk about politics, I'm going to bring up Cabaret. I'm going to bring up Hunger Games. But like, she literally says, that's all politics. And what does that have to do with us? It gets to you. Mm-hmm. It's going to knock on your door at some point, whether you like it or not. Get used to talking about it. Get used to being a part of it. Get used to being active in it, because it's not going anywhere. And it's only going to start taking over and ruining more and more of your life.
Yep.
And you shouldn't wait until it's affecting your life to care.
And the only way to change people's minds is by talking to them.
Yeah.
Not screaming at them. Mm-hmm. The human brain is conditioned to hate humility.
Yeah.
And the second you humiliate somebody, your brain, you have no choice in this. Your brain shuts it down.
Fight or flight.
Yeah. And so you just have to have conversations with people. And if at the end they're not receptive to it, then fine. Make your choices then. But just don't go into it hostility.
Yeah. You're allowed to be wrong. Mm-hmm. And like, you haven't been right about everything in your life.
Yeah.
That's not going to be
I invite being wrong. I want to learn consistently.
Yeah. I think it's a fun challenge if you can prove me wrong on something. But some people like, and I can understand like having your opinions and be like, no, this is my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like that's all well and good. But if you...
Well, how do you feel about everything I said? Like, is that like a privileged standpoint to have? Sometimes I wonder that too.
I'm sure for some it is. I'm sure for some it is. I'm sure there's a lot of people. You also kind of said, like, you even said, like, if someone's like blatantly like transphobic or homophobic and like genuinely harmful, like that's different. You don't talk to those people.
Yeah,
like, those are people.
Yeah,
that,
cut them out.
Cut them out. Yeah. But if there's certainly a lot of voters, especially this time around, that were very uncertain with how they wanted to vote or if they wanted to vote. Mm-hmm. Honestly, there's I even at one point was like, I don't know if I'm going to fucking do this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't feel good voting for either people. And I feel like there has to be room to feel like, hey, like, why were you 50-50? Like, why were you leaning in this direction? Why were you leaning in this direction?
People live in vastly different realities, too. Like, I can't put myself in the shoes of somebody, like, living in a trailer in the middle of, like, West Virginia, like, with nothing surrounding them at all.
Yeah.
That person does not know gay people.
Yeah.
That person, like, doesn't know trans people. Mm-hmm. They don't know immigrants. They're surrounded by white people and poor people. They don't... So they're... What... You know, and, like, this is shitty to say, I think, but, like, why should they care about something they don't know anything about? Because their issue is that they're poor and can't afford anything. That's like, it's the hierarchy of needs, right? Yes. So like, there is that they are literally starving. They literally can't afford anything. They have a lot of children because, again, everything was designed against them. Mm-hmm. They don't have access to being in the city and being surrounded by diversity and being surrounded by things that aren't harmful to them, but they only have the box in front of them telling you these people are harmful, these people are bad, but they don't have the opportunity to meet those people to find out that that's untrue.
Yeah, that is true. And there's a lot of things like that where like it's a social class thing. Mm-hmm. There's so many, like, I even think about that with like Broadway plays, like certain things that people just will never have access to. Opportunity to go to Disney World, opportunity to see like a Broadway play, like something that enriches your life, something that changes your perspective. And this is more so the plays, not Disney. I could fucking give a shit. But like seeing something like a play is such a, it's a luxury. It's a legitimate luxury.
Yeah.
Like being able to go like, put on nice clothes, go to a theater, see a play, have a day off.
Oh, yeah.
Evening off to be able to do something.
I was never
like
able to afford that. I mean, like, when my friends' families would take me, I'd feel like, this is, like, amazing. Like, this feels like something I'll never be able to attain on my own.
And the hierarchy of needs changes your hierarchy of wants.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you go from, like, you know, like, some people are like, oh, man, I really want the new iPhone for Christmas. And some people are like, I really would love a house phone.
Yeah.
So that way I can talk to my mom. So that way I could do this instead of, like, so that way I could watch fucking TikToks.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, and yeah, there's a complete lack of wanting to, there's just a big lack of empathy in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, like, I don't think people want to consider the fact that, like, it does not take much for you to be, like, a lot of us are close to homelessness and close to the opportunity, the aspect of homelessness are a lot closer than we think we are.
And when I start seeing the left speaking equally as hateful and equal with equal vitriol in their, like, speaking as the people on the right, it's like, so why do you think you're better at this point?
Yeah.
Like, you just, you're doing the same things you're saying is wrong.
Yeah. And it all comes from, like, well, I think I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's dangerous for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, the ability to think that you are only right and have no room to be wrong.
Yeah.
Not a lot of,
or like no room for nuance, even like you can be like neither right nor wrong, like you could just be like, that is just how you feel.
Mm-hmm. That's just my
strong, and there is a lot, there's a lot of middle ground in how you feel,
yeah,
and how somebody else is going to feel.
Period.
Period.
I wish I had something more intelligent to say. Very intelligent conversation, but I'm just like, that's it. It do be like
this is going to run from like shitting yourself to taking back Sunday to why you should have empathy to people. That's because what I like about this. Multitudes. I like
that's
that.
That's why. Because we are complex individuals and we know the full range of human emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And we've depicted it through this entire podcast. Against all odds. Okay. We did your closing arguments that we need to have more empathy for people, especially people who have been brainwashed by the government.
Yeah.
And I think that people need to have more empathy for pop music.
And I would invite people, if you guys think I'm wrong, like, I, again, tell me why.
I'm not wrong.
I'm not mad.
I'm not wrong.
You're not, no, you're not wrong.
You hate pop music because you hate women.
You are exclusively correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there are things I have said that, like, could be wrong to somebody. That's fine.
Maybe I'm not high enough to have more controversial opinions, though. One of these, my controversial opinions are stupid, though.
I have stupid ones too. This one has just been grinding my gears this week because it's an election week.
It's a bad week.
It's a bad week.
It's a bad fucking week. And I'm not going to say that we're not going to be like this all the time because we will discuss politics because it needs to be discussed. Mm. But I'm sure there will be episodes where they'll be lighter.
Yeah.
But this week's not the week
for it's that. Not the week for like, that. We didn't choose this.
No. Oh my God. Oh my God.